I love words. I enjoy playing with words. Words are lots of fun. This is Dr. Herbert O'Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with thought for today. I love words. What kind of words do you like? Do you like words that are uplifting, words that are positive, words that are joyful, words that make you smile, words that make you feel good? I was on my inversion device this morning, and as I was hanging upside down, I was almost completed with my routine. I hang upside down every morning for 10 minutes, and it's a good, good feeling. And as I was just about completed, the door opened, and in came Ellen, always earlier and earlier and earlier, to come over and talk to me for a few minutes before she gets started on her day. And so I was hanging there, and who should come over to greet me but Little Love? And Little Love comes right over to my head, hanging upside down there, and snuggles in close to my head and says, "I like you. You're a nice guy. You make me feel real good. And having you with your head down here by me is so wonderful." Well, Rex, who had seen Little Love come over and tried to be friends with me, he jumped over on the hassock and he put his head down by our heads and he says, "I want to join the fun. I want to join this happy time of thinking and saying and doing good things together." Well, I snuggled Little Love and I snuggled Rex and I hung upside down there and I was just as comfortable as could be. I thought to myself, what a lovely way to be sharing with my pets. How wonderful to be sharing in this beautiful way. And I said, I don't know if I can think of a more ideal way of sharing. Now, they have my head, which is the part of me that they like the most, I guess, because I coo to them and I say lovely things to them. And they have my head. And they think that is the most vital way that they can express with me. They are in the ideal relationship with me. And Rex just loves to lay on the hassock and hang his head over the edge. He's on the couch with his head over the edge. He's on my bed. He's got his head hanging over the edge. He just loves to have his head hanging over the edge. There's something about the inversion position that is just so natural and desirable for animals and people. What is the ideal way for us to express ourselves? What is the ideal way for us to think about anything? Well, when we're upside down, sometimes it's a good way to get into that ideal position, good way to get into that ideal thinking attitude, a good way to know what our ideal self is. And it's a happy self. It's a happy way of looking at everything in life. It's a happy attitude about all. And it's kind of nice. It's kind of fun. So I think to myself, as I'm hanging upside down for 10 minutes, I say, all right, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my perfect spirit, mind, and body. I live in my wonderful spirit, mind, and body. I live in my whole spirit, mind, and body. But what is the ideal spirit, mind, and body? What is the whole spirit, mind, and body? What is the perfect spirit, mind, and body? All these words are relative words that have meanings of their own. Some of them are very nice meanings, and some of them are meanings that are wishful meanings, like we'd like to be. Now, if I say to myself, I have my ideal spirit, mind, and body, I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body, I don't fight that at all, because the word ideal means the correct, the perfect, the ideal, the wonderful, the beautiful, the whole, the fulfilled way of being. If I say, are you whole and perfect? Oh, right away you try to think about where you weren't whole and perfect or what you'd like to have more whole and perfect. And if you say, I am my ideal spirit, mind, body, you are ideal You are the ideal human being. You are the ideal divine being. You are the ideal man, the ideal woman. Oh, who can make any umbrage to that? Who can walk back and forth with that attitude and try to find different attitudes about it? There just are none. The word ideal is so ideal. It's so perfect for everything that represents who I really am. Now, who am I? Am I a developing being? Am I a revealing being? Am I an aware being? Am I a being that's coming into an understanding of who it is? Am I a being that likes itself? Am I a being that is in a happy world? Am I a being surrounded by beautiful people? Am I a being that is doing all things good? Do I have ideal eyesight? Or do I have perfect eyesight? What is perfect eyesight? Well, we want to say 20/20. Well, why? Why have it be limited? Why not have infinite vision? Why not have the ability to see telescopically or microscopically or normally, one just 2 or 3 feet away or 100 feet away? Why not have a vision that allows us to see ideally everywhere, which we do have? We do have it, but we have never claimed it. Now, as we claim our ideal vision, we don't even stop and think whether it's 20/20 or 20/40 or 40/40 or 80/90 or whatever it might be. It just is that beautiful vision. Now, some people can put a thread through a needle and into a needle, and they do it very easily, and they just pop it right in there, they just see it perfectly, and then they go on, and then they look at you, and they see the new rose that you have in your hand, and they look at the children in the playground, and they pick out which ones are their children, and which ones are doing all of the things that are happy and wonderful. And they look up in the sky, and they recognize the airplane, they recognize it at miles away, tremendous feet away, tremendous distance, and they can tell what kind of a plane it is. Not only what kind of a plane it is, they can read the number on the plane. Now, you say, daydreamer, daydreamer. No, no. When we change our focus from the perfect, which we know is limited because we say it's perfect already, to the ideal, which has no limitations on it. The ideal, are you the ideal man? Well, what's the ideal man? Everything that's good and beautiful and fantastic. Wow, that's a big kettle of fish there. That's a big order. That's something pretty wonderful. Everything that's good and beautiful. Are you the ideal woman? Are you the ideal husband, wife? Are you the ideal child? Do you have the ideal family? Well, it's up to you to say. It's up to you to put the cause in motion and say, I have the ideal family. Wow! Hey, don't you just feel good inside when you say, I have the ideal family? Try it. Try it. Just say it. I have the ideal family. Come on now, say it. I have the ideal family. Oh, does that feel so good? I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Without even understanding all those words, we just feel good about it. Because we're proclaiming and acclaiming that which is the highest and best. The highest and best. When we say perfect, right away we want to say what is imperfect and what is less and what is... We don't say what's not ideal. Because there is no such thing as a not ideal. There is no such thing as something which is contrary to the ideal. Ideal stands on itself, and it has no comparison. It has no comparison. If you are the ideal man, and you are a man, and you look at yourself and you say, I'm the ideal man, how can you say, well, I would like to be more like that man who has those muscles, and I'd like to be more like that man who has those brains, and that man who has that wisdom, that man who has that genius, that man who has the family that he has, and the world that he has, and the happiness that he has. Because when you say, I am the ideal, you include all those things without realizing you're including it. You're including all of those things in your life and in your world without realizing that you are putting the cause in motion for the ideal of you, the ideal of your world, the ideal of your life, the ideal of your experiences, the ideal of who and what you are and how wonderful that is. We all have the opportunity to be ideal. We all have the opportunity to live in our world in any way that we wish. We all have the opportunity to do great and beautiful things. Yes, we do. And why do we have that opportunity? Because we have named it and claimed it. Because we have given it a name which does not call for judgment. We have given it a name which does not call for comparison of any kind. We have said that I am ideal. When I had our friends here for a discussion on this nature, and we were talking about the ideal and how to refer to ourselves the ideal. Are you the ideal wife? The ideal husband? Are you the ideal woman? Are you the ideal man? Are you the ideal? Now, if you say woman, right away you put limitations on yourself. If you say man, right away you put limitations on yourself. If you say child, right away you put limitations on yourself. But I am the ideal. Or just leave off the. I am ideal. It's just like saying, I am the one God. I am the God. The God of what? Are you God or are you the God? Are you God or are you the Creator? Or are you the wonderful being? You see, every adjective, every adverb that we put to a word takes away the fullness of the word itself. And the more that we can keep our words pure and beautiful, faultless, judgmentless, judgmentlessness. I enjoy playing with words. But even that, as long as we can keep our words pure from having all these adding on and prefixing and things like that, we don't need the prefixes and suffixes that we stick on words. A word is good in itself. God. Now, how are you going to mess that up? Man, how are you going to mess it up? Human, divine, ideal. Oh, my. The more I think about ideal, the more I think how wonderful it is and how perfect it is and how beautiful it is, and that it's a word that's... But, you know, if you had the ideal religion, if you had the ideal faith, if you had the ideal family, if you had the ideal world, if you had the ideal government, if you had the ideal mother, the ideal father, if you had the ideal being in yourself, if you were the ideal person, the ideal being. I know, I oftentimes speak about little children. And I say, little children, little children, little children. And then I have to stop myself. And I have to say, they're little people. They're not little children, they're little people. Children, right away, put them in a category of limitation. Now, the little puts them in a category of limitation too, but people, they are people. They are complete people. Within them is all that a people is all that a divine people is all that an ideal people is. Are they ideal? Yes, they are. Are they people? Yes. Are they children? No. They may be expressing the childhood phase, but they're not children. They are people. They are always more than what they appear to be at any moment. A baby, a youth, a child, an adult, whatever. These are all just phases. We don't tie a person to the idea of saying you're a young adult all his life, because he soon grows into being a mature adult. He soon grows into being a second childhood. He soon grows into being a first childhood. He soon grows into being the ideal. And as soon as we look at everybody in our world, starting with ourselves, as we look at everybody in our world as ideal, we think we live in a pretty exciting world. We think we live in a pretty amazing world. We think we live in a world that's filled with more magic than we could ever imagine. Now, is your world filled with more magic than you could ever imagine? Is your world filled with more excitement than you could ever dream? Is your world the ideal world? Are you ideal? Is everything connected to you ideal? That's the way I like to look at life. I like to look at life as ideal in every way, shape, and form. I like to look at people as ideal. Just like little Lowe, little miniature pincher, he comes over and he snuggles into my head when I'm on the inversion device. And he just thinks, that's so wonderful, it's so wonderful. And he just snuggles in closer and closer and closer. And then Rex notices that and he says, hey, that's my territory. I want to be closer there too. Rex is always close. He sits next to my chair. He sits on my feet. He sits by me. He sits near me. He wants to be always around me. We go for a walk, and he has a chance to walk far and wide, but he likes to always be near me whenever I sit down. Whenever I sit on the meditation bench, he wants to be there. Now, why? Well, if I have any intelligence within me, any wisdom at all, and I do have wisdom within me, I will know that that's the way I created him. I will know that that is how I created him. He finds his greatest pleasure in life in being with me because he is my pet. I have chosen him as my pet. I didn't choose him to be a dog for all people. I didn't choose him to be a dog that's running in the field and wanting to do this and wanting to do that. He may want to do that. That's okay. But when he's with me, he wants to be with me. When he is around me, he thinks that life is just at its peak. He thinks that this is the ideal way to be. Now, as long as that's what I think, then that's what he thinks. My dog is a reflection of my thought. My world is a reflection of my thought. My family is a reflection of my thought. My life is a reflection of my thought. My experiences are a reflection of my thought. My work is a reflection of my thought. My job is a reflection of my thought. My lifestyle is a reflection of my thought. Whoever I am, whatever I am, wherever I am, however I am, it is all a reflection of my thought. And my thought is ideal. My thought is pure and beautiful, the very ultimate of the ideal. Ultimate of the ideal? How can you be more ideal than ideal? How can you be more perfect than perfect? How can you be more God than God? How can you be more all than all? How can you be? You can't. When you say, I am ideal, you've wrapped up the entire package neatly, beautifully, perfectly, and it is all there. Now, as with a child, you may not be expressing all that you are. As with an adult, you may not be expressing all that you are. You may be swimming in the pond or the pool or in the river or the lake. Each one brings out a different aspect of your being. But always, each aspect of your being was always there. It was always there. And you chose to express whatever portion, whatever dimension, whatever aspect of your being you do. Now, can you express the allness of your being? And the answer is yes. Can you express the allness that you are? Yes. Can you express your ideal nature in its absolute fullness at every moment? Yes. And how do you do that? You just be yourself and have fun. As you might want to express every aspect of your being all at the same time, you recognize it or are aware of it only a part at a time, only a little at a time. And when you enter into the state of what we understand bliss to be, then you are experiencing all of it. and you're unaware of any individualization or any differentiation between anything that you are expressing and that which you are, because you are it all. What a very spectacular way to be. Play the game of ideal with me, and watch how much fun it is. Watch what a joy it is. Watch how it gives you a different lilt, a different lift, a different attitude on life. It makes you realize, I'm ideal. What more can be said? And how wonderful that is. Have a lovely day. You are my ideal creation. And I love you so. I love you. I love you.